Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, and today is our question episode for the third week here in June, and we're tackling a question from Marcus today. So Marcus asked me the other day, what are the best resources to bring someone to Christ? He said, I know our lives are supposed to be walking testimonies, but what do you do beyond that? What else can you do? What other resources can you use? So I want to just start with a disclaimer that evangelism is a gift. It's a spiritual gift. I think some people have, the Holy Spirit can work through them in a special way, and they are very good at bringing somebody who hasn't accepted Jesus, helping them get to the spot where they do accept Jesus. And so, you know, like Billy Graham, I think, had the gift of evangelism and was able to, you know, tons of people came to Jesus. But even I've just seen it in person where someone can walk up to somebody on the street, talk to them about Jesus, and the guy accepts Jesus. And it's pretty spectacular. Now, just because someone can be exceptionally gifted by the Holy Spirit in that way doesn't mean that every Christian isn't supposed to do that. But I want to tell you right at the front end, I'm not gifted in evangelism like some other people are. And I have had a chance to lead people to Jesus who didn't know him, and lead friends to Jesus who didn't know him. But I don't think I'm as gifted at it as some other people. So I want to just start off there, and I want to talk to you about what I know. So if you're trying to go out to Independence Avenue, you know, this weekend and tell somebody about Jesus, what I'm going to tell you is probably not going to be the most helpful info. And I think you probably could find it from somebody else who does that well. So anytime you're trying to figure out how to do something, find somebody who does that particular thing well. Now, what I can tell you is what it's like to be a Christian who's gifted in some other areas, but not maybe gifted at bringing people to that decision moment. How has God used me still to have people have that decision? Because that's where a lot of people are at. So this is kind of an everyman approach to sharing the gospel with people. So I want to take you back to a memory in my mind of bringing somebody to that decision moment that's really vivid. Is when I was a sophomore in high school, I was sitting at lunch one day and had a friend of mine named Alex ask me at lunch, Jake, how does somebody get to heaven? Now, I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory about how we got to that question later in the podcast, but he asked me that. How does somebody get to heaven? And I, you know, did not eat as healthy in high school as I currently do, so I was having nacho inches and cheese and peanut M&Ms and Sprite. That was my lunch as a 15-year-old or 16-year-old. So I still had some M&Ms, and I still had the Sprite bottle from lunch because lunch was wrapping up. So I took two M&Ms, and I said, this M&M is God. And then I took the Sprite bottle and said, this M&M is, or sorry, and I took another M&M and said, this M&M is you, and placed it closer to him. And then I said, and here's the problem. There's this, and I set down the Sprite bottle on its side between the two M&Ms. I said, there's this giant thing between the two of you to where God and you can't get together. And I said, that giant thing between the two of you is what we call sin, or it's this idea that you've made decisions to live in a way that God can't live. God can't be around sin. He can't be around selfish, hateful. You know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I talk kind of in basic terms. What does it mean to live for ourselves, to live selfishly or live sinfully? And that separated us from being able to have a connection, a relationship with God. And then I said real simply, you know, Jesus came to earth, and when he came to earth, he gave his life. Even though he was a perfect guy, he never messed up, he never sinned. He said, I will stand in the place of everybody else, and I will take punishment on me, and I'll pour out my blood so they can be forgiven by the power of that. And so I took that bottle away, and I said, now there's nothing between you and God. Now you can come to God if you want. And I said, and I can talk you through how to accept what Jesus did for you and give your life to God. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And so then we prayed right there. I think the bell rang while we were praying, so everyone else got up and left lunch. And we prayed through just a real basic salvation prayer of, Jesus, I believe you lived a perfect life. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross as a sacrifice for my sins. Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. And I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I want to stop sin. I want to ask you to forgive me for my past, and I want to live my life for you. So I remember walking through the halls at my high school after that, and that was the best high, like the emotional high I've ever had at that point, maybe. And when leading someone to Jesus, especially someone you've known for a while, it's just an incredible experience. And it energizes your whole walk with God. You know, it just felt so amazing. So I do want to take you back, though, because remember I said there's something happened that led to that question. It's like, how did this Alex guy come to me and ask me, how does somebody get to heaven? Well, I want to take you back to a whole year, maybe a year and a half before that. I was living in Blue Springs, so I went to the freshman center where like all the freshmen in all of Blue Springs went to that one school, and they got split up into different high schools after that. So at the freshman center, I was sitting with some kind of popular kids at lunch, but I was not a very popular kid. I knew one of them from church, and so I was sitting at their table, but it was one of those weird things where it's a rectangular long table, and I'm sitting on the edge, like no one's across from me, of this kind of cool group. And I always feel awkward, never really liked lunch that year. Well, because it's a long table, there's other people sitting, there's a couple empty spaces, and then there's some other kids sitting. And they're not as popular kids, but there's one kid sitting in that group who is very loud and kind of a bully on all the other kids. And he's always picking on all the other kids, but he never picks on anybody with that little barrier, because those are kind of, oh, cooler kids. So I always was careful not to make a lot of eye contact over there, like not to get involved with that whole situation on the other side of the table, because I didn't want to get picked on. I mean, this is 14-year-old me. I knew I don't want to make myself a target to this random bully. I'm glad he's leaving me alone, and I'm just trying to fit in with these other kids. So I just ate my lunch in silence most of the time. Not a fun experience. Anyways, I loved Jesus, though, as a kid, and as a 14-year-old, I was bringing my Bible to school because I was not, for any weird reason, to show off or anything like that. I literally wanted to read the Bible more. I was really in love with Jesus. And so, anyways, I'd read it during class some and stuff. People would ask me about it. Some people made fun of me about it. But I felt very clearly in that moment at lunch, not like audible words, but I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, get your Bible out and read it. I probably sighed. I feel like a sigh coming on right now. I can remember the emotion I felt of like, I do not want to read the Bible. I'm already not accepted by these kids I'm trying to sit with. And I got this bully just down the road looking for, you know, blood in the water type of thing to a shark if I pull this Bible out. And then the thought hit me pretty clear of the people you're sitting next to don't like you, and they don't accept you. And this bully and those guys, like, are you really that afraid of those people? Like, I'm the one, God's the one who actually cares about me. And don't I care about what he thinks of me more than these other people? And I thought, yes. You know, it's kind of like not very excited, yes, but it was like definitely like a, yeah, you're right, God. I do care more about you. So I got my Bible out, opened it up, and I just read what I was reading, which happened to be Romans 12. And theology of 14-year-old Jake is a little different than theology of current Jake, but this bully kid slides a couple chairs down, and I think, oh no, here it comes. But I don't look up at him. I just keep reading. And he says, what are you reading? And I think, well, here comes the insults, and I'm in for it. So I'm reading right at the end of Romans 12. If you ever want to glance at that, you can see what I was reading. But I say, you know, this passage is talking about you're supposed to love your enemies. And it says, if you treat people well, even when they treat you bad, that God will get them back for you. That's what I told the kid, that God will get them back better than you would get them yourself. Because that's the way I understood the end of Romans 12, where it's talking about, you know, love your enemies, do good to them, and in doing so, God will heap burning coals on their head at the end of that passage. Now, we can have a discussion later about whether that's accurate or not, but that's definitely the way I took it at the time. So that's what I told Alex. And, you know, this idea, you should love people even when they're bad to you, and God will get them back for you. That's kind of what I told him. And Alex said, what? Is that really in the Bible? God will get them back for you? And so I read it to him, and he thought that was so strange. Anyway, so then he didn't make fun of me, though. And the kids on the other side of me, the popular kids, I think really, I don't know, they weren't talking to me already. I wasn't really a part of the group already, but they continued to not talk to me. I don't think they liked that I was doing that. And later on in some discussions with them, I think they thought I was a pretty weird person. But Alex, from time to time, I would feel like God was telling me to read the Bible, and I'd do it at lunch. And Alex, a lot of times, would slide down, not every time. In fact, let me throw this out to you. I'm kind of taking a sidetrack here, but some days I would particularly read like a passage in Romans about like accepting Jesus, you know, confessing with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart God raised him from the dead or stuff like that. Or I'd read a passage out of the Gospels that was very like, oh, I could tell somebody how to accept Jesus from this passage. Alex never came and asked me about the Bible on those days. He would always ask me about the Bible on days when, like, I'm reading in the book of Judges and, like, some left-handed Israelite is stabbing some super fat, evil king, and he's so fat that the fat of this guy's stomach covers up the sword hilt after he gets stabbed. It's like this super gruesome, crazy stuff out of the Old Testament. Because I was a 14-year-old, and that was some of what I read in the Bible, you know, was like, oh, these are cool stories. And he would always ask me on those days. I was like, man, why does he always ask me on those days? I'd be praying about it. And that year ended, freshman year ended, and Alex had only ever talked to me about weird stories in the Bible. And I thought, what was the point of that, God? Like, I stuck my neck out to try to talk to this guy about you, but I never had a real chance to tell him how to accept you. And I was frustrated. Well, we wound up in the same gym class our sophomore year. And because we kind of knew each other, we would talk to each other. We had this little high five thing we would do and stuff. We became friends. And he would ask me from time to time, like, tell me a story from the Bible. And because we'd gotten into kind of this rut of these horribly graphic, violent stories in the Bible, I would tell him typically crazy stories about adventures David went on or Samson went on or something like that. So he was always shocked. He's like, I never knew that sort of stuff was in the Bible. So we just had goofy conversations about the Bible, and but he saw me live. You know, I remember one time in gym, something bad happened, and I tossed something down, and I said, "Oh my!" And he like looked at me, and I said, "Oh my grandma!" You know, and then I was laughing with some guys about it. But he thought, "Oh man, I thought you were gonna cuss and blah 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 blah." So he was paying attention to me, even as he was talking to me about these goofy things, and he was watching me. And so he came to my table. He didn't normally sit with me sophomore year at lunch, but he came up to my table, sat next to my friends kind of quietly, and then when my friends started to leave, like as lunch got kind of over, that's when he asked me, out of the blue, "Jake, how do you get to heaven?" So here's the thing, like, for me, the way God's typically used me to bring people to him, and not that it's been a ton of people, like, I don't have a lot of stories like Alex's stories, but it's typically been, yeah, I'm living a Christian life, and yes, I'm in love with Jesus, and that kind of shows off, kind of like Marcus was talking about, you know, we're living a walking testimony. But then the secret sauce, the thing that really mattered, was when God told me to do something, I did it. That I got to a spot where I could hear a nudge from the Holy Spirit, and then I did it. Because I tried to convince a bunch of other friends in high school, you know, I would set up these elaborate ways to talk to them about Jesus, or I'd do all this stuff to try to convince them Jesus was real and they needed to accept him. And most of my friends in high school, like, did not accept Jesus. But this one kid who I didn't even want to talk to, who I just wanted to avoid, because I obeyed the Holy Spirit, he got opened up. And I think the reason is, like, the Holy Spirit knows who's ready. The Holy Spirit knew Alex didn't need... For Alex in particular, he didn't need Billy Graham to speak at Arrowhead. He wasn't going to go to that. He needed some goofy, strange kid who had, you know, a 14-year-old perspective on the Bible, who loved Jesus but also was into gore and blood and guts and stuff, you know, too. So that's what Alex needed. I was the one that God wanted to use for Alex. And so God told the Holy Spirit, you know, through the Holy Spirit, got me involved. And the thing is, God wants to use you to bring particular people to Jesus. And it might not be your best friend. It might be somebody who you don't even want to talk to. But you got to be obedient to the nudges. You can try on your own as much as you want, and you probably won't have much success. But if you listen to the nudges, then you can do something. Now, I do want to talk to you about John chapter 1 as a model of kind of this type of evangelism that I'm doing. If you read John chapter 1, particularly the second half, it's a long chapter, but the second half, there's two different times where people become disciples of Jesus in John chapter 1. It's early disciples of Jesus. And the first time, these two guys come up to Jesus, and Jesus is like, "What do you want?" And they're like, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." And that "come and see" line is really awesome. Then later on, somebody finds out about Jesus, they go tell their brother or their friend, I think it's their brother, about Jesus, and he's like, you know, whatever. And then the guy, you know, he insults him, like, you know, what good thing can come from Galilee or something like that. And the brother says, "Come and see." That's his answer. He doesn't have all the answers yet, but he knows where to find Jesus. And he just says, "Come and see." And I think if you're a model I would tell you to try, if you're trying to bring people to Jesus, is know where Jesus is at, and bring people to where Jesus is at, okay? Know where Jesus is at, and bring people there. Invite them to come and see Jesus himself. Don't put all this pressure on yourself that you have to tell them the exact right sales pitch, because sales pitches don't change people. But be a person that's in love with Jesus. Be a person who's listening to the Holy Spirit when he prompts you. And then have a place to take them. So I invited Alex after he became a Christian, after he prayed with me. I said, you got to come to church with me. So I took him to my youth group. Now, the problem is I didn't have the healthiest church at the time. And he came to church quite a few times, half a dozen times or so, but he never got to plug in. And I would always try to talk to him, try to get him plugged in. But we had this giant youth group, and there was actually a big scandal. It was about to break at the youth group, and it all split apart. It wasn't the healthiest church. And so it wasn't really the best place to take Alex. I wish I would have had a healthier church to take him to. I think Maywood is a pretty healthy church for new people coming to Jesus. So if you're looking, I think bring them to your small group. Bring them to a place where Jesus is moving. So it's good to bring them to Jesus. I think also you can buy little Gospels of John if you want some. I'll give you some Gospels of John. Don't give somebody the whole Bible. If they're brand new, just give them the Gospel of John. It's a very, very small book. It's less intimidating. And that way they're just reading about Jesus. And go ahead and, you know, read them the first chapter. Read that together with them, because the first chapter is a little confusing. But then after that, it gets simpler. You know, some other options. If maybe you know a great place where you can worship. Maybe there's a place where there's worship music happening. It could be a different church. It doesn't have to be Maywood. Or it could be, there's sometimes you find different places of, oh, there's a bunch of people over this house and they're all going to worship and pray together or something. But somewhere where you know the Holy Spirit's going to be, you know where God's going to be, take the person there. Take the person somewhere you experience God at and say, come and see what I experience. Come to this thing. Be open and honest. Try to sing or try to pray with us and come and see God. Okay? I do want to fill you in. Alex and I lost touch. We stayed in touch through high school. We stayed kind of buddies, but you know, he didn't click with my church, and he had his girlfriend stuff going on, and he had a lot of stuff going on in his life. And I saw Alex a couple years after we'd kind of fallen apart from each other, and he still really liked me. He still was positive about Jesus. But I don't think he had really fit in as a disciple of Jesus. I don't think he'd really gotten plugged in. So I do want to put on your perspective of making a disciple isn't just about getting someone to pray a prayer. It's about bringing them to Jesus. It's about getting them to where they're growing with Jesus. And that takes time, okay? So I do think God equip some people to be that evangelist, to go out there and get someone to say yes to Jesus, and then maybe they hand them off to someone else who's a shepherd or a discipler. So it can work that way. It can be a tag team, and you can help with one part of someone's journey, but make sure you hand them off to someone else. Don't just drop them, okay? And so if you're looking for how to bring people to Jesus, pay attention to the Holy Spirit, do what he tells you to do, and then say, okay, if I got somebody that wants more of Jesus, where would I take them? Would I take them to the Gospel of John? Would I take them to something at Maywood? Would I take them to something somewhere else? Have a go-to ready of like, this is the way I'm going to introduce them to Jesus. So Marcus, I hope that answered your question. I hope it's good for everybody else. If it stirred some random thoughts from you and you're like, where is that story about the fat king getting stabbed? I can tell you all that sort of stuff. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Bye.